Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and today we're reading, we're going to read some on how to have God's life living in you. It's the 61st message in that, and this is tape or CD or program number 163. And if you'd like a copy of it, just ask for it at the end of the service. We'll show you how to get it. We have some letters to read and some scriptures to go over, and let's all go up to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. I pray that you forgive us eternal life for the Holy Spirit and for giving us the messages that you give. Lord, anoint, give me a message today that will refute all the lies that are being said about you, the insults that they place upon you in these last days. It's people that are carnal and they don't know you, they don't know the scriptures, they don't know anything. You said that they're not saved and that they're dead in their sins and trespasses and that the dead know nothing. So all the people in this world that are not saved, they don't have you for their father, and therefore you, Jesus, and through the Apostle Paul, stated that they are bastards. A bastard is a person that doesn't know who their father is. You're the creator of everyone. You're the savior of all those that will receive you. You're God come in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word came into this world as God came into the world as a man. And you lived among us, and you were Emmanuel, God with us. Father, pour out your anointing spirit upon me outwardly. Let it be the spirit of the ministry, the ministering spirit that ministers life unto those that are lost, and strengthens the church that needs strength on a daily basis, in Jesus' name, amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, I've been watching the Discovery Channel because I didn't want to do it, because every time I listen to the History Channel or the Discovery Channel or one of these secular channels that I start attempting to explain the Bible to the people in the world, what they're doing is destroying human souls, because a lot of people believe these masterfully done programs, but they're so unscriptural that it's not even, it's just mind-boggling. One of the things that the Discovery Channel was saying today was that they were disputing over the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the virgin birth was a spiritual matter. The Spirit overshadowed Mary, and we have scriptures on that, so I'm going to have them read this. And let's see here. Is this it? Yes. Okay, read that.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
Now they were saying that Joseph and Mary were not married yet. But if the word, God's infallible word, says that they were espoused one to another, and that means that they're married. The only thing is that they hadn't consummated the marriage yet. He hadn't cleaved unto her yet, where they were one flesh. Because in the Middle East, they give, people are given in marriage. In other words, people get married, an old man, such as Joseph, was a very stable elder, in the Hebrews, among the Hebrews, and this little girl, Mary, was just young. She wasn't even in her teens at the time that he married her, or that he was espoused unto her. They were actually married because those people that believe in God, they don't lie. And so when she comes of age, in other words, when she starts her menstrual cycle, when she reaches puberty, that's when the older man can be married to this young girl. She becomes a woman when she reaches puberty. That means when she starts menstruating, in case you don't know what that means in this wicked world. And so just as he was about to consummate the marriage, she was found with child. And this was a spiritual thing. Now, Jesus enters into us the same way that he entered into Mary. It wasn't some man had sexual relationships with her, or some man didn't have sexual relationships with me. I'm not a homosexual. But Jesus came into me by the Spirit, just like he did Mary. And Jesus will come into you just like he came into Mary. The only difference is Jesus grows up spiritually within you, and Jesus became flesh in her, because God wanted the Messiah to be in the world, and he wanted him to come into the world just like all the rest of us come into the world. He was a man that had God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in him by the Spirit. And so that's how that came about. Now they say that Mary had these geniuses today, quote geniuses, I'm saying this facetiously, all of a sudden found out that Mary, after all these years, had an X chromosome in her and a Y chromosome, and that the Y had sex with the Y had sex with the X, and therefore that's how the baby was born. And they're talking about that birds, as many birds and fish and stuff, have these virgin births as well. But the Bible says, and the Bible says that anyone preaches any other gospel than what's in the Bible is accursed. And so this History Channel and this other channel that's called the Discovery Channel, you people are cursed. I guess you didn't know that. Go home tonight and study the way your life is right now. Study. I mean, is your wife or one of your children sick, or one of your loved ones, or are they near death or something? This is a curse to you for doing the things that you're doing on television. First of all, these men that you're quoting that are saying all these false things are not even saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't know that they're even alive. The Bible says they're not alive. Their spirit is dead. And they need the Holy Spirit and Jesus to enter into them with the Father, so that they can be raised from their dead spiritual state and to be able to understand what the Spirit, the Word of God, is saying. They will be able to be spiritual beings and understand the spiritual Word of God. So now we're going to tell you what really happened here. And remember, the Word of God is infallible, and anyone trying to change it is accursed. Okay, so read that. Not to say, where is it from?
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35.
Okay, let's read it.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her.
Now they're saying that Mary could not have been a virgin, that she had sexual relationships, and that Jesus was the bastard child. No, the bastard that's saying that is the bastard, because he's unsaved, and all those that are against the scriptures, that there's no way a person could be saved if they didn't believe the scriptures the way they're written. All scripture was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and there's no private interpretation of it. And anybody 2,000 years later trying to say that they have done analysis on the different skulls and everything back there, that Jewish skulls are bigger than Gentile skulls, you're crazy. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ in person right in front of my eyes, and I know that he looks just like human beings do today. Humans have not changed down through the years. If you people start preaching that, you're preaching evolution rather than creation. we're all the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't developed any new species. And the Jews, I'm a Jew, and my children are Jewish, and my mother was Jewish, or they changed her name to Johnston, but her real name is Torah. So the Torah, every Jew knows what that is. What is the Torah?
The Bible.
The Bible says that the Torah is the Bible. Okay, so my mother's maiden name is the Bible, Torah. Okay, and my dad's name is Boris Alfonso Lazar. Bernard, he changed it to Bernard A. Hoffman in the show business when he was the number one dancer in the world. These people don't know what they're talking. Just keep reading now. There's no difference between a Gentile skull and a Jewish skull. You could take Andre the Giant. I knew him. You know, I made clothes for Hulk Hogan and Mr. T and all kinds of people like that. If you're going by a Gentile head, well, then you'd have to say that Andre the Giant's head was bigger. It probably weighed more than most people's bodies. And the Gentile, Goliath, had a huge skull also. So the Gentile, he tried to say that Jewish skulls are bigger than Gentile skulls, is what the history or the Discovery Channel is saying. They didn't discover anything. All they've done is discovered a bunch of heretics, and they're preaching what the heretics say. If I were you, I'd stay away from the Discovery and the History Channel when they're talking about the Bible, because they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know God. Okay, so go ahead and finish these scriptures.
And the angel came unto her and said,
unto her, Mary, and said,
Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her,
Now, how am I going to have a child if I don't have sex with a man? And then what did the angel tell her?
The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power...
Now, the Holy Spirit is going to be conceived in you. Then what?
And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
The Messiah. Okay, now we go to the... Oh, that's the New Testament. We go to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. And I quote, this is Old Testament now. Therefore the Lord himself, this is talking about God himself, shall give you a sign or a picture or so that you'll know how the Messiah is going to be born. And he says, Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now, how can it be a virgin conceiving if it's a man that has sex with her? She can't have sex and still be a virgin. Amen?
Amen.
So when the people were helping her give birth to Jesus, when they took her dress off and she started having a child, they could tell this was a virgin. Amen?
Amen.
You can tell a virgin from a non-virgin. I mean, if you know anything about women. Now, this artist, Leonardo da Vinci, didn't know anything about it. You should see the picture that he drew of a woman. It was pretty humorous if you know anything about women. That is for sure. If you look at that picture, you'd know that she was no virgin. All right? Now, you people think that this is strange that I talk this way. This is a wicked and perverse generation of people, and I think that you know what I'm talking about. All right, now, and I was once a sinner, a real proficient sinner, one that really knew how to sin before I was saved. So therefore, God himself shall give you, that means everyone in this world, a sign, a vision, a certain picture to signify that this man, a child that's going to be born, is born of a virgin. Behold, look, a virgin, not a young woman, like a lot of people say, but a virgin. There's a lot of difference between a woman, a young woman, and a virgin. There's a lot of women, young ladies today that are like 8, 9, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and on up, that are not virgins, and that have conceived and have borne children, and some of them have gotten abortions. It says, behold, a virgin, not a young woman, shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. Now, we're going to read from the New Testament about Emmanuel. Okay, let's find that here. There you go. So this is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Isaiah scripture 7:14. Okay, go ahead. Now, where is this from?
Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son.
Yeah, a virgin shall be with child. Now, how, if she had sex with a man, how could she still be a virgin? Amen?
Amen.
So, a virgin. There's a, you know what a virgin is? That's one that has never had sex with a man, or a woman, or anybody. Okay, read it again.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Okay. Now this one.
Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
Now they say that Jesus was not born in a manger because they're from the tribe of Judah, the same tribe that Jesus was from. And he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. This is the town of David. But they said that because of the fact that David lived there, that they had plenty of relatives over there, and they wouldn't have had to live in a manger. So this is some smart alecky woman saying that on the Discovery Channel, that she seems to be a student of the Bible, but she's not even born again, or she wouldn't be saying such heresy. She's accursed, according to the Lord. Now, read what this says.
And she brought
forth, give the scripture again.
Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
So now, if they had plenty of relatives over there, then why would he have to be born in a manger? And the Bible plainly says that. Okay, go ahead and read this one now, too.
Luke chapter 2, verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Right, this was the wise men. Now the wise men, they said, were astrologers or astronomers, and they were so wise because they knew about the stars. That is not what constitutes a wise man. I'm a wise man, and I don't know anything about the stars at all. But a wise in the Bible means somebody that fears God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wiseness, the beginning of wisdom, wiseness. And the fear of the Lord is wiseness. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so these were not astrologers or astronomers. They were wise men, men that feared the Lord and wanted to see the Messiah born. Now, this, what does this have to do with?
The manger, too.
Okay. Read this one.
Luke chapter 2, verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Now, this is a sign, a picture. When you find the real Messiah, he's going to be in a manger. That's the picture that you have to go by in order to know who it was that is the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Read the scripture, the verse again.
Luke chapter 2, verse 12.
So these people are saying that he wasn't born in a manger, that he was born in a very wealthy home. Where do you weasels get this? I mean, you're the bastards of the world. Because a bastard preaches false doctrine. And you don't have God for your father. You wouldn't be preaching such heresy. Okay, now here's Isaiah 9, 6.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor.
Wonderful. Now, if he's a bastard, I mean, if his mother Mary had sex with a man, how would he be called Wonderful? Wonderful and what else?
Counselor.
Counselor. How would you take counselor from a bastard? And then what else?
The Mighty God.
Well, how would he be the Mighty God if he was a bastard? Any bastard that would say that is the bastard. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The Everlasting Father.
He's the Everlasting Father. Then what?
The Prince of Peace.
Okay. All these people on this Discovery Channel are saying the exact opposite of this. Now, this one here is Luke. We haven't read this one yet, have we?
No.
Okay, now they stated that Jesus didn't know what he was supposed to do. They said, you know, it was he didn't know anything until he was baptized, and that he didn't really know that he was a special person when he was a child. His mother told him that he was the Messiah, and his not real dad, but his stepdad told him all of his life that he was the Messiah. And he knew it because he was in communion with the Father. And the Father was in him. He was the Word of God that came into this world. He knew everything that was going on. And so how do you weasels, you know, that call yourself prophets, or you're trying to explain the Scriptures when you don't know God? The way you know God is to have God's life living in you, and you don't. You're dead in your sins and trespasses. And again, the Bible says that the dead know nothing. You don't know anything. You're a babbling fool, according to the Word of God. Now here, I'm going to have her read Luke 4, chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. So find that now, Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. I mean, I just can't let this go on the air, because the Bible says that the way we bind Satan on earth is to expose him. And so I want to expose, and that's what I'm doing. I'm binding you devils at the Discovery Channel and also at the History Channel, that you don't know that you're of the devil. You're of your father, the devil. And I'm exposing you. And Father, I'm binding them by exposing them here on earth. So it's your job now to bind them in heaven. Bind them, Father, and make them stop preaching what they think is the Bible or the gospel. Make them stop that on the air immediately, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, now here's Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 19.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah.
Now, they're saying he didn't know what he was supposed to do. Okay, now this will tell you that he's telling everyone what he's supposed to do and what he's going to do. Okay, go ahead, read it.
And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor."
Wait a minute. So he said, now he doesn't know what he's supposed to do? He said God anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. That's one thing. Okay, then what?
He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
Okay, he sent the Lord. He knows that he's sent to amend the brokenhearted, amen, to heal the brokenhearted. Then what?
To preach deliverance to the captives.
And he knows that he has to preach deliverance to the captives of Satan, to deliver them from the devil. Does it sound like a guy that doesn't know what he's supposed to do?
No.
And then what else?
And recovering of sight to the blind.
So that he's going to heal the blind. Does that sound like he doesn't know what he's all about?
No.
Okay, then what?
To set at liberty them that are bruised.
To set at liberty those that are being persecuted. That are bruised by Satan. Then what else?
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Does that sound like a man that doesn't know what he's supposed to do?
No.
Okay, you idiots over there at the Discovery Channel and the History Channel, you're the ones that don't know what you're supposed to do. Let me inform you by the Holy Spirit what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to keep your mouth shut about the Bible, okay?
Amen.
Now, see that you do it, because you're getting yourself in a lot of trouble by preaching something that you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, now again, Isaiah 7:14. Wherefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God is with us. Okay? All right. Now, I've got some of these notes written down here. I think I covered all those things. Now, they stated that he was not born in the year one. Well, the book of Daniel tells us that the exact day that Jesus would be born and the exact day that he would die. That's an infallible proof of that Jesus was definitely the Messiah, that he is the Messiah, he's the Son of God, and they're saying that he was born 6 days earlier than the Bible says. That's supposed to be these scientists and these people, these archaeologists, that are digging up all this stuff over there. The book of Daniel says exactly when he'll be born and he'll die. The Bible tells that he'll die on a cross, and that his with nail-pierced hands and feet, and that he'll be pierced in the side and sold for 30 pieces of silver. This is in Isaiah. The Bible tells he'll be born of a virgin. And that I have a Messiah book that has 333 prophecies in it of what Jesus will do. The Old Testament, Jesus, who is God, stated what he would do 333 times in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament came when he came on the scene, and he did the 333 things that the Old Testament said he would do, that he would be born on a certain day, and he was, and die on a certain day, and he was, and that he'd resurrect from the dead, and that he would be a God to all those that would accept him as their personal Savior, and that he would send his Spirit down into them, and that he would live in them, and they would live in him, and those that continued serving him would be saved if they served him to the end. Okay, so if you want a copy of the Messiah book, I'll gladly send you one free of charge. It took me about 3.5 years to write it. I got in on this Discovery Channel right about in the middle of it, so I can't determine how many other false things that they said in the first half. Okay, the Bible states that the Roman government was oppressing the people at that time because of taxes, that nobody could own their own property, because if they didn't pay their taxes, the government would own it. And that's what's happening today. The Roman government is in charge of everything in the world now, the secular world, but not the spiritual realm. And if you don't pay your taxes here in the United States, we're oppressed. They will grab your property and sell it on the block. And they make up false stories about you to do the same thing. Yeah, they're saying that Jesus, the Messiah, might be here on earth right now. Well, Jesus warned against that kind of teaching in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. He says there'll be many messiahs, people that will say, "Here I am," or "I'm out in the desert," or "in some cave," or something like that. But the Lord Jesus, who is God, come in the flesh, the Word of God says, "Believe them not." He said, "Behold, every eye shall see me. I come in clouds, and everyone will see me when I'm coming back to earth again." There's going to be a mighty earthquake. So unless you see the sign of the Son of Man, and the Son of God in the sky, and unless you see him coming, and every eye shall see him, and somebody's saying they're the Messiah, don't believe it, because they're some of the scummiest people on the face of this earth. So again, anyone that tells you that they're the Messiah, they're accursed. Now, if you see one of them coming in the clouds, then fall on your face. You know that's the Messiah, okay? You can believe that one who is looming over the entire universe, and every eye is seeing, and you'll be praying if you're not saved for the rocks and mountains to fall. All right, so much for that. I just sorry that I didn't get to see the first part of that biggest bunch of heresy I've heard in a long time. But I didn't, and so well, maybe they'll rerun it again. I'll read the first part of it to you, of all the heresy in the first part. I know if there's that much in the second part, there'll be plenty in the last part. Now we have some letters to read. Where are they from?
First letter's from Togo, Africa.
Okay, read it, please.
Hello, Pastor Tony Lomo. I received one of your world newsletters and a Bible. It made me very happy. This newsletter has changed my life. 3 days after, I went out to see the person who gave the gift of this newsletter to me to get some more for my church, and he gave me your address. I would like to have your pamphlets, such as Dry Bones, The Pope's Secrets, and some Bibles for my church. Pastor, God bless you, and may his promise be fulfilled in your life. And then signs, Geraldo from Palime, Togo, Africa.
You know, when Jesus was here, he was not attacking the Roman Catholic cult. He was attacking the Jews, the supposed to be pre-high priests back then. All of his accusations were towards them. But in this last day, the Lord has planted in the Word of God very strongly the Roman cult. The New Testament explains everything, that it's from Rome, and it sits in the city of the Seven Hills, and the Lord is dealing that way today. Now, the reason that the Jewish religion, Judaism, is false, as a false religion, is because they deny their Messiah. About 144,000 of us are receiving him now. There's literally thousands of Jews that believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And the Lord said that we, the elect, the chosen ones, for the last days here to preach the gospel to you, to the Gentiles, to you Gentiles out there, because the Gentiles have made the gospel, the birth of Christ, a Santa Claus, and they made the resurrection of Christ an Easter bunny. Easter had an Easter parade. And it's none of those things. The Gentiles, your idol worshippers, and you love cartoons and stuff like that. But us Jews, we don't like that. This Jew doesn't, the one that's preaching to you right now. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. I'm a Jew. I changed my name to Tony Alamo years ago when I was in the entertainment industry. And I'm proud of being one of God's chosen people. And I'm really chosen now because I'm a Hebrew Christian. A person that's both Jew and Christian. Jesus was a Jew, and all the first believers were Jews, and all the apostles were Jewish except Luke. Luke was a Johnny come lately. He just received, he didn't walk with Jesus. He was a person that learned what Jesus did from the other apostles. And the same thing with Paul. But Paul was hearing directly from God. And I believe that Luke was also later, when he showed due diligence, that he definitely was interested in the Messiah and wanted to write all the things he could possibly hear that the Messiah did when he was here. Okay, now what other letter do you have?
From Denver, Colorado.
Denver. Okay, that's Mr. Warmack's territory up there. I don't believe in eternal security like he does. Sad that so many of these people that are on television believe so many damning things about the Bible. Go ahead and read it.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, please send me copies of all your monthly literature. The ones I had have all been sown prayerfully on good ground, and may our God give the increase. I have one copy of the Messiah still, but if you could also send me one more, that would be considered by me kind. Thank you and blessings to all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with a sincere heart. Love always, Robert, from Denver, Colorado.
From Denver. Okay, that's great. Now what?
Next letter's from Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, I was filled with joy and happiness in Jesus Christ our Savior to get in touch with you and your ministry again. I hope by the grace of God you and your ministry are moving on well, as I am over here in Ghana.
Well, the grace of God really is the power of God. By God's power, or God's grace, God's power, I will prevail. And the way that we use God's power is to follow what he says to do. He says, now, we have the power to stop the devil. If we expose Satan, that stops him. Okay, so remember that. You want to expose the devil. That stops him immediately. And Satan really needs to be stopped a lot, because so many, quote, Christians, unquote, believe that they're just supposed to keep their mouth shut. But the Bible plainly tells us that we are to resist the devil, and the only way to do that is to expose him. It's the same thing as stopping the burglar trying to burglarize your house, to call 911, to get the lights on all over the place, to blow a whistle, to call all the neighbors to turn their lights on, and get in their cars and shine the lights on your house. And the sirens are coming, and that binds that burglar. Well, that's how you bind the devil. And whatsoever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. If God sees you exposing Satan, he'll expose him even more than you can. And so do it, and that way it'll stop a lot of the satanic things that are going on today. Don't be afraid of Satan exposing, because if you don't expose him, then whatever you loose or let, if you let Satan loose on this earth, the Lord's not going to do anything about him either. If you love living around Satan, then just live around him. But as for me, I'm going to expose him. I don't like Satan. The Bible, Jesus says for us to hate him, and I do. I hate him. And I love the Lord. That's a commandment from the Lord. You cannot love or serve two masters. You must love one and hate the other. All right, then what?
Please, Pastor, thank you and may God bless you by increasing your anointing for sending the request that I asked of you. The newsletters and the Messiah booklet have won many souls through the hearing of it to others in the bondage of sin. The Bible says, quote, likewise, let your light shine before men, that they may see your fine works and give glory to your Father who is in the heavens, unquote. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. By you sending me the newsletters and the Messiah booklet, it has brought a shining light into my community and the church I go to. Many souls are calling for more newsletters and the Messiah booklets in the church and the schools around town. I would like you to send me 100 copies of the newsletters and 10 of the Messiah booklet. And also 5 Holy Bibles for me to share among the schools, churches, and those in the bondage of sin. Please, Pastor, about the Alamo Christian Ministries t-shirt and sweatshirt you would like to send me, the size I wear is large, and I want the white color. With much pleasure, I would like to end here. Looking forward to hearing from you soon. May God bless you, your church, and your ministries as well. Please, sir, I want you to pray for me on my external exams that I will be taking on May 15th to June 13th. For success and victory. Amen. Yours in Christ, William, from Ghana, Africa.
Well, what your external things that you're learning in a university, I don't know what that is, but the Lord says, come and follow me. He didn't instruct his disciples to go to a university. He says, come and follow me. In other words, let's live by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, not some college professor that has no more spirituality about him than these people on the Discovery Channel and the History Channel. Many of these people that teach at universities are not even saved. Most of them are not. And I would not recommend you to go there, and so I don't know what your exams are, but Jesus never gave me any exams. He just told me to read the Bible and do what it says and live it by the Spirit. Okay, Sharon, now come on, let's start reading some of these things regarding how to have God's life living in you.
The religious people say, we are very sound, we are so scriptural, we have everything in order. But the Lord Jesus says, I will not have any of this. I only care to heal my wounded members, my withered members, and rescue my sheep.
Yeah, if you keep saying, you know, I am righteous, I'm more godly than God himself, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want people walking around boasting about how godly they are or thumping themselves on the breast and saying, I'm so wonderful. The Good Samaritan didn't do any of that. He just saw somebody that was hurting, that was near death, that had been beaten to pieces, and he took him and put him on his donkey and took him to an inn and put him in there and helped nurse him and provided food for him and healed him up. The Lord doesn't even go around boasting, I'm God, you know, I'm the big shot. Only the people that are not of the Lord do something like that. The people that are of the Lord are in the church, that are helping the young converts, that are lifting up those that are sick or that are withering, and that are praying for one another and are seeking the Lord while they're doing all these things. Then what else?
The Lord Jesus didn't care for all the rules and regulations. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath? Nothing. Most people just sit around on the Sabbath.
Yeah, a lot of them on the Sabbath watch bowling for dollars, or the football games, or the cracking up cans of beer. They're just resting because they think their bodies deserve a rest. But what the true Sabbath is all about is that we're to rest from our old wicked ways, and that we're to be considering what the Lord wants us to do today and finding out by praying to them what we're supposed to do. Am I supposed to read the Bible? Am I supposed to study literature or tracts? Am I supposed to help the baby Christians today? Am I supposed to be out on the streets witnessing and distributing literature? Should I? This is so far away from the religious people. People that don't do these things become religious very quickly, and they lose their souls, because religion is a destroyer of souls. Only salvation is the winner of souls. Then what?
But to heal a withered member of the body, a withered hand, really means something to something. To lift the fallen sheep out of the pit really means something.
To just help your brothers and sisters in the Lord and to lead others into the house of God. Then what?
If there's so many hundreds of people that were made alive by being buried or being rebaptized, what do you want to say about something like that?
Well, a person that says, I've been baptized before, but I feel the need to be baptized again. Don't be against such a thing. If they want to be baptized again, let them be baptized again. There are a lot of people that have told some of our people while they're praying in the prayer room that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they believed it, and they were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like, you know, when you have a real true church of God there, you're going to find a devil there. Out of 12 people, Jesus had one devil there, and that was Judas. And now the media and the History Channel and also Discovery Channel and USA Today and all these MSNBC or MSNBC says that there's a book of Judas that was hidden, and Judas was really a good old boy. He was not a good old boy. This man, the Lord says he is a devil. Amen?
Amen.
So don't believe that nonsense. You know, again, anyone that preaches any other doctrine than is in the Bible, let him be accursed. And it says it again in the same chapter. Let him be accursed, anybody that does that. And all these secular people, what does NBC or Miss NBC or Mrs. NBC or Mr. NBC know anything about God? They're secular people. Oh, we go to church. Yes, you go to church. The devil will take you to a religious church. He'll take you there, and he'll take you back home and buy you a chicken dinner after the service. He doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't want you to be born again of the Spirit. These Billy Graham crusades, boy, you should have heard Billy Graham exalting the Pope. Billy Graham was honored by the Vatican. He was given by a cardinal, they hung this big award that he had won because he never attacks the Vatican. Jesus told clearly who the Antichrist was, and he told the Jewish leaders that they were of their father, the devil. because he came first to the Jews. And then he called the Gentiles dogs. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He said, "What do you know? I don't come here to preach to you dogs." But then, after his death and resurrection, he came down to Cornelius and Peter and told them, "Now I'm going to receive people that believe that are Gentiles into the fold, into the new Jerusalem, into the new Israel." Okay, now go ahead.
Some people say there are meetings that are extremely bad, and that when people are on fire for the Lord, they become too noisy. The music's too loud.
Yeah. We've had people always do that. They come into our church or Crescent Heights, and they were clapping and praising the Lord and too noisy, and the neighbors call the police all the time on us because we were praising the Lord. They don't call the police when you hear the people at a football game. You know, there's stadiums all over town, big football games going at nighttime, and they're screaming and yelling and hollering for every time they make a touchdown. But the minute you start praising and thanking the Lord, they just say, "Oh, God, that's a bunch of devils over there." Can you imagine them screaming and praising the Lord over there? Well, you're the devils for not to, you know, the only one that's beneficial to praise and scream for is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one that really deserves the high praises. Okay, then what else?
Some people say there are meetings that are extremely bad, that when people are on fire for the Lord, they become too noisy, the music's too loud, praising and thanking the Lord is too loud, the prayer rooms are too loud. They cannot bear this shouting and praising the Lord. But look at the fruit when people are on fire today. Today,
and I look at what happens when the people are really on fire for the Lord. Wow, there's revival everywhere. People, look at what happened from our church when we started preaching the gospel, and we were noisy and we went out on the streets, and I had people, friends of mine like Jack Nitzsche, who did most of the arranging for the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and many other people. He says, "Tony, you know, like, you don't you think you're a little overbearing?" I says, "Zippity-doo-dah." I mean, he arranged that record by Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans. I said, "Don't you think you're just a little bit too juvenile?" Some, you know, these kids were on drugs, and now they're praising and thanking the Lord. They were murderers, killers, and now they're praising and thanking the Lord. Do you think that's too much, Jack? Jack wound up dead now. He's dead. He did the arrangements for Jackie DeShannon as well, and several others. We had an office together with Sonny Bono and H.B. Barnum years ago. And H.B. and I are still working together. H.B. Barnum. And H.B. does arrangements for very big stars like Tony Bennett and like Celine Dion and
Mariah Carey
and people like that. Okay, and then what else?
Today, if you go to so-called Christian churches in the United States on Sunday morning, it is rather difficult to find anyone under the age of 30. Most of them are old, but when we started our church here in Los Angeles, most everyone was very young, mostly under the age of 30. All we were was a young people's church that sold themselves to the Lord's recovery. At the beginning, they cared nothing but for Christ as the head in the church, with all the members as the body. And if this is so, what would you say? Come on, old dead religion, come on. People that are in the life services, the live services, that don't care anything about the fallen souls or souls that are going astray, you are the ones that have been withered. You're the withered members.
Right, and I'm preaching to you, and that's why I want you to become alive again. Be youthful. The Spirit of the Lord is very alive. We're not preaching death, we're preaching life, the fullness of life. And, you know, if you become old in the ministry, well, then you're dead, because the Lord is fresh and new in resurrection and the life. Okay, then what?
That's why I bring messages like this, is so that maybe you'll receive them and be saved. The Lord doesn't care if people are noisy or they're praising the Lord and thanking Him. He loves that. When they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God, He loved it.
Right, He didn't say condemn them for saying, praise God, and laying down branches on the streets when He was coming through on the donkey. Amen?
Amen.
Hosanna to the Most High God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
But a bunch of people sit around with the dummying up. You know, to me, I know they're not saved. Okay, then what else?
If you read the Psalms, it tells us, quote, make a joyful noise unto God, unquote.
Yeah, you never hear some people, they just sit there and you don't know if they have a voice or not. They're dead. Okay, then what else?
Psalm 66:1, Psalm 81:1, Psalm 95:1-2, chapter 98, verse 4 and 6, and chapter 100, verse 1, and many others.
Well, why don't we read some of those? Okay, wouldn't that be good? We only got a couple more minutes here. But it would be nice to read some of them, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, let's start cooking here. Praise the name of the Lord. Come on.
Psalm 66, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud unto God, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Psalm
Don't
90.
Just sit there like a dummy. God doesn't like that. He just figures if you're too lazy, but you notice when they got like somebody like some singer on television, oh, their faces light up and they just clap their hands, or if they see one of these programs where they have a contest of singers, they just can't resist watching that. And their hearts, their little pea-picking hearts jump for joy when they see something like that. But the people that are of the Lord, their hearts are always praising and thanking the Lord because He's good. He's providing your food and your clothing and a place of shelter for you, and you should be happy about it instead of sitting there like some jackass. Okay, then what?
Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Psalm 98, verse 4 and 6. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise.
Oh, a loud noise, but Lord, what if the neighbors complain to the police? Well, you know, when they did that, we became what they called a public nuisance. We were down on Crescent Heights. And so we moved out here in the Saugus, Newhall, Valencia area. And now we haven't had such peace since. Now we have a lot of acreage out here, almost 200 acres, and everybody should be praising and thanking the Lord for it. I can hear the brothers from the brothers' dorm praising and thanking the Lord to the top of their lungs over there. But you got a bunch of people that just don't believe that way, but the Bible tells you to. I see that my time is up. What was the next scripture?
Psalm 98, verse 4 and 6. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King.
All right, so even trumpet blasts. Do you live in an apartment or something like that? Well, you might get evicted, but you'll find a better place than that. Amen. It's better to be with the Lord and do what He says. Okay. Now, those of you that would like to make a joyful noise unto the Lord and raise your hands up saying, Abba, ask the Lord to come into your heart right now. Ask Jesus in, and He'll bring His Father and the Holy Spirit with Him. So just say this prayer to the Lord right now. Say, My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says that You'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, You said. Therefore, and I know that You're everywhere. You're the wind. You're the air. You're the breath of life. So therefore, I know You're hearing everything I say. And I know you've heard me, I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. But just raise your hands up and thank the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. All right, now, make sure you tune in tomorrow. This is will be How to Have God's Life Living in You, Part 62. And if you'd like a copy of this program, it's program number 163. You can have it on CD or tape. Just specify which one you want, and just contact our website, and you'll be able to get a copy of that. And if you need a Bible, just specify. Or if you'd like to have a Messiah book, specify. Tell me what language you'd like it in. And also tell me if you'd like some of the literature that I've written. So tell them how to contact the website.
Go to alamoministries.com.
That's easy, isn't it? Alamoministries.com. It's spelled A-L-A-M-O. Just like Alamo, remember? The alamoministries.com. It's alamoministries.com or alamoministries.com. All right, so until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, praise the Lord, amen.